Oh yeah. Yes. 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 What up? Welcome back to another spooky edition of Gritty Knows Best, baby. That's right. That's right. That's right. We are knee deep in Halloween season, baby. We are smack dab in the middle of October. And I hope that you're doing well, because I am. I'm so excited that it's Halloween season. You know, I've been celebrating. We've been doing some Halloween themed episodes of the podcast. Listen, man, this is going to be a good one. I'm excited about this one. But before I get into this episode, I did want to give a very special shout out to one of my longtime subscribers, Megan Kilroy. What up, Megan? Because Megan hit me up on YouTube and she was basically like, "Hey, Gritty, I love the new Halloween theme videos you got going on, but I want to know, are you going to be doing any more episodes of the Spooky Corner?" Now, to those of you who don't know what the Spooky Corner is, if you go to my channel, Gritty World, you'll see a playlist called the Spooky Corner, and that was a little show that I did, about 45 episodes of this show where I talked about urban legends, ghost stories. I did taste tests for like spooky products and stuff. It was a lot of fun. And Megan wanted to know if I'm still going to do them or put them up this year. And first and foremost, Megan, let me tell you this. Thank you so very much for being a subscriber for the length you've been and for supporting me, even though the content has changed up over the last 2 years. So thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for the love. To answer your question, I have no plans to do any spooky corners right now. So there are no spooky corners coming for the foreseeable future. I have no issues with them. I just don't have any urge to do them. When I stopped doing them, it was really because life took me into a place where I was not really able to do them anymore. And then I just moved on to other things. So it could possibly come back in the future. But for right now, there are no spooky corners coming. But I hope that you enjoy this episode, Megan, because this is a spooky edition of the show, and I'm going to be talking all about ghost stories. I'm going to be taking you guys on a little ghost tour through the podcast. I'm going to be telling you 3 chilling ghost stories that I've collected over the years. I love listening to ghost stories. I've been on ghost tours in Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, I love ghost stories, man. So I hope you love them as much as me, because that's what tonight's going to be about. 3 ghost stories that I'm going to tell you. So sit back, get your popcorn, get your soda. Well, soda's really not that great for you, but if you're drinking soda, fuck it. Get a soda, get whatever you got to get, and let's roll, baby. Let's go on the ghost tour. It's time for Gritty's ghost tour. All right, so first little trip on our ghost tour here. Let's take a trip to Easton, Connecticut to go see the White Lady. The White Lady of Easton, Connecticut is a notorious spirit that is said to not only haunt the famous Union Cemetery, but Stepney Cemetery and Route 59, which runs alongside both of them as well. She has been seen by police patrolling the area, motorists traveling at night, cemetery goers, and even the famous demonologist and paranormal investigator Ed Warren himself, who claimed to have footage of her, but more on that in a second. She can be seen roaming the cemetery grounds and Route 59, wearing a white dress and a white bonnet. And sometimes her presence is even preceded by another spirit, an old man who is said to appear in the passenger seat of motorist vehicles right before they catch a glimpse of the White Lady herself. Okay, so now that you got the little bio on the White Lady, let's talk about the sightings and stories. So the first story about her dates back to the 90s, so it's not that old, and it's by a guy named Rod Vesey. This story has been told a few times on the Warren's show Seekers of the Supernatural and a few other places, but it goes a little something like this. This is a classic. So Rod was driving home from his job at Home Depot at the time, and he's driving down Route 59 late at night, and that's when he feels a presence sitting beside him in his car. Now, when he goes to look at what's next to him, that's when he sees an old man wearing a pointed hat and 60s-style clothing. So he kind of freaks out and he does a double take, but when he looks back at the guy, the old man is no longer in the car with him. So he puts his eyes back on the road, and that's when he sees a lady standing in the road wearing a white dress and a white bonnet. So she's standing there, and he's saying that he has some time to slow down and see what's going on. While Rod slows down, he said that the white lady walked in the road and put her hand up as if to say, stop. So while she's doing that, he's slowing down and making his way to her. He's a couple inches in front of her now, and that's when he said her spirit like jumped in front of the car and then it disappeared, okay? And he said that he felt a gust of wind go by his ear, and that's when he assumed that the lady's spirit just passed through his car. When he felt this spirit pass through the car, after that, he said he felt like an overwhelming sense of sadness and dread, and he didn't know what was going on. So he makes his way home. Now, while he's making his way home, he said that his side of the road was now red. The whole side of the road that he was on was colored red for no reason. So he finally makes his way home and he tells his wife about everything that went down, and she tells him to go and give Ed Warren a call. So now this is where I'm going to stop this story right here. I'm going to come back to this because I have more to say about this aspect of the story in a little bit. But let's get to some other sightings of the white lady. So another sighting comes from a guy named Glenn Pinnell. And he was driving in the middle of the night one night. He was a volunteer firefighter, and he was driving with an off-duty police officer, and they were responding to some blown-up transformers. So they were driving down Route 59, and next thing Glenn knows, he hears the police officer tell him, yo, look out for the lady in the road. Before he could do anything, he ends up hitting the lady. Now, he jumps out of the car, and he went to investigate what the hell he just did, what he just hit. He's freaking out. And a lady stops behind him. She jumps out of the car and she's like, what the hell are you guys doing? You guys just stop in the middle of the road like that. And he's like, yo, we just hit this lady. You didn't see her? She's like, no, I didn't see no damn lady. What the hell are you talking about? So Glenn looks down and there is absolutely no body. There's no lady in a white dress laying on the side of the road dead. Nobody. He's kind of spooked out now. But what there is a dent in Glenn's car. Mysteriously, a dent appeared. So Ed Warren was asked about this particular part of the story, and he actually said that he thinks that since the Transformers were blown up in the middle of the night, that gave the white lady like some type of energy, so she was able to manifest stronger and maybe in a more physical way. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know. That's what he said. He's the expert, so that's what he had to say about that. There is one more sighting of the white lady before we get back to the Ed Warren part. Okay, so while Lorraine Warren and Tony Spera, her son-in-law, were sitting in a diner one day, a guy walked up to them and he was like, hey, I like you guys' work. Just so you know, I know that whatever you guys are doing, this paranormal stuff, it's true. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? You know, have you seen something? And he was like, yeah, one night I was driving down Route 59 and I end up feeling something next to me in the car. So I look over and I end up seeing a guy with a pointed hat. He was an old dude and he was dressed in 60s styles clothing. Now, when he looked back at the road and then looked back at the guy, the old man was no longer there. And then when he went back to the road, he ended up seeing the white lady and he thought he hit her. So he kept driving. And while he's driving, he's kind of freaking out. He's like, oh my God, I think I just killed somebody, but I don't know. I think I hit somebody, but I really didn't see them that well. And while he's driving down the road, he claims that his side of the road was pink. So kind of like Rod's story, but it was a pink road. So the guilt is like overwhelming this guy. He doesn't know if he did it. The whole mystery of him possibly killing this person gets the better of him. So he makes his way back around on Route 59 to see if he actually hit somebody. But as you could probably already guess, no lady was laying in the road. He didn't kill nobody. So those are pretty much all the well-known sightings of the white lady. Like I said, people have said that they've seen her when they were in the cemetery, or cops see her when they drive by the cemetery. So whatever. Let's get back to the part where we talk about Ed Warren talking to Rod. So Rod called Ed Warren over. Ed does an interview with him. And then Ed decides to do what he does best. He decides to go investigate. So he takes his car to Union Cemetery at night for 7 days. He parks his van, and he puts up a tripod with a camera, and he sits in the cemetery. So he's sitting there for 7 nights, and nothing. Nothing's going on. Until the 7th night comes around. And that's when he had the camera set up, and he sees this white figure walking through the gravestones. So he jumps out of the car to investigate to see what's going on. He's looking through the viewfinder. He doesn't see anything there, but he sees something physically in front of his face. This woman or this white figure is walking towards him through the gravestones. Now, while she's walking or it's walking to the gravestones, he said that he saw these black little things moving around her. He called them like little shadow dogs or something. So they're moving around her, and he said that's when he sees them trying to kind of guide her to the right, and she moves out of his direction and vanishes into thin air. And he got it all on video, he claimed. He claimed that for a long time, for years. I read in the book that he wrote that in, and I was like originally thinking like, well, if you put that on video, then why would you not show it to every fucking person you know? That's what I originally thought. But apparently, throughout the years, he's been showing it in his lectures. They usually do lectures. The Warrens used to do lectures where they brought Annabelle out, where they brought a bunch of pictures and stuff out, and they would show the video. But it was never available to the public until now. This month, actually the month of October, Tony Spira, their son-in-law, who is now the owner of the Annabelle doll and many of the other haunted artifacts that the Warrens owned in their lifetime, he put out the video on the channel called Official Ed and Lorraine Warren Channel, right? So you can go there and see this video now. He put it up, and I saw it a few times, and it indeed looks like this white figure. You can't even really tell what it is. It's just like a white thing moving in between the tombstones. It's very dark. It's a very old video, very kind of grainy and whatever. You can't really see too much, but it does look like something white is floating through the tombstones. Is it real? I don't know. I don't investigate videos. I can't tell you what, you know, if they did any effects. It was the 90s, so they probably couldn't have done many effects, but I don't know. I'm not saying I don't believe the video, but I'm not saying I believe it fully either. So that is pretty much the story and the sightings of the white lady. I do want to throw this out there too, okay? Because speaking of my YouTube channel, I did tell this story on an episode called True Ghost Stories. I believe that's what it was called. So on that episode, I talked about this spirit that apparently walks around the graveyard that's by me. So my boy that I know that I used to work with, he came up to me one day because he knows I'm into all this stuff. And he says, hey, you know, when I was a kid, I went into the cemetery by us because he lived by me. And he said, I was jumping the fence with my friends. We had like a bunch of snacks and stuff. We're getting ready to hang out there all day. We go over and we see this lady come up to us in a white dress. And she's asking us, what are you guys doing here? You know, what are you guys planning? And they start shooting the shit with this lady. And then eventually during the conversation, she goes, you know what, guys? I got to go. All right. I'll see you guys. And like, hey, you don't want to hang out with us? And she's like, no, it's okay. I got to go. And they're like, okay, this is kind of weird. Like this lady just walked up to us and now she's like in a wedding dress. It's strange. So she turns around and she starts walking down into the cemetery. And next thing they know, they just see her vanish into thin air. And they're like, no fucking way. They start running down past, you know, through the tombstones. And they're looking around for her and they don't see no lady in no dress. They don't see nothing. And that was a little story that I thought was cool because, hey, maybe, I don't know. I'm not saying that's the white lady, but I may have something along that lines, a little white lady-esque around me. I've always enjoyed stories of like ghost brides. I've always liked that. There's always been some of my favorites. You know, are they brides that got left at the altar and then they committed suicide? I mean, who knows? The white lady isn't a bride, I don't think, but it was just a cool story I thought I'd throw in there. All right, so the next stop on our little ghost tour is the Bronx. I admittedly do not know much about any hauntings in the Bronx, which is kind of dumb because I'm so into hauntings and I live in the Bronx. You would think I could do a damn ghost tour there, but I can't. I really don't know much. But what I do know is I do know that the school that I used to go to, the campus, is apparently pretty haunted from what I understand. So I went to school on this big ass campus that was built in 1924. It's pretty old. And the, you know, the old saying is, oh, it was built on an Indian burial ground. Oh, which everything is apparently built on an Indian burial ground. So I don't really buy that shit. But my old school is apparently pretty haunted. There have been stories of a little girl that goes around that obviously nobody knows where she's from. She's just a spirit that people sometimes see. Sometimes security guards will see faces in windows when they're doing their rounds. But my favorite spirit that roams that campus is one that I have named the Phantom. Now, the Phantom was first seen by my boy Eddie, EJ. Shout out to him. I tried to get him on the horn before the podcast so he could tell you himself, but he wasn't available. Why? Probably because it's about 3 a.m. We're recording this during the witching hour, baby. You know what time we record the podcast. We don't do this shit at 5 in the afternoon. We do this at 3 a.m., 2 a.m., when all the spooky stuff is going down. So he wasn't able to tell it, but I'll tell it. So back in about 10th grade, he told me this story. And I'm telling you, this is my favorite ghost story that anybody has ever told me. I've heard a lot, and you will hear some on the Halloween special, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But this is one of my, this is my favorite. So back in about 10th grade, Eddie comes to me and he tells me, yo, you're not going to believe what me and Mo saw. Yeah, Mo from the podcast. So he was there. So Eddie and Mo saw the Phantom. And here's how. So Eddie and Mo are going back from breakfast early. It's about 7 something. You got a little time before you get to school. So they're going back to the dorm to just hang out and chill before class starts. They're by themselves because everybody's still in the lunchroom. While they're walking out of the lunchroom across the field to the dorm is in sight. On the sidewalk next to them, they see, down in the distance, a man walking around in a black coat and a black fedora hat. And Eddie and Mo are like, who the fuck is this guy? Because A, everybody's in the lunchroom. B, nobody dresses like this that we know. Now, there is one guy that dresses like that, our boy Mike, but Mike is like me. He's a day student. He's not there at 7 a.m. So they're just looking at this guy walking down to the dorm that they're about to go to. Now, while Eddie's looking at the guy walking, the spirit or this man just walks right into the dorm through the wall, through a brick wall. He just vanishes right into the dorm. And Eddie and Mo just stop and they just look at each other and they're like, did you just fucking see that? This man just walked through the wall. They run into the dorm to see if anybody is there, but nobody is there. It's a two-floor dorm and they cover the place. They don't see nobody. Nobody is there. Now, that was originally the only sighting of the Phantom until I did the Spooky Corner episode on it. So I go and I'm doing the True Ghost Stories episode and I have to put that one in there. But then something tells me, you know what? Why don't you go and ask around to some of the other people that went to the school with you and see if anybody has seen anything? I didn't even mention anything about Eddie and Mo's story. So I call Hydro, right? I call my boy Aaron. And I'm like, hey, man, have you seen anything in the school when we used to go there? Like any ghost stuff? And he's like, yeah, I used to see a lot of stuff, man. He's like, back in the day when I used to be in the dorm, I used to see this guy looking up in my window. And he was wearing a black hat and a black coat. And I was like, no way. I just got the chills thinking about it. I was in shock. And I was like, what are you talking about? A guy in a black hat and a black coat? He's like, yeah, he used to just stay there. And he used to look up into my dorm room window. Now, Aaron was in a different dorm. He was in another dorm than Eddie and Mo were. So this guy was covering the grounds. So I ask him, did he ever see him again? And he's like, yeah, I actually saw him twice. So we actually saw him on two other occasions. Now, in the same dorm that Aaron lives in, he saw him in the hallway to the back entrance. So Aaron's walking down one day, and he's walking to dinner. And he's the only one in the dorm right now. He's late to dinner. and he's taking the back way because that's the closest way to get to the lunchroom. So as he's walking into the hallway, he sees the same guy standing into the hallway, like standing with his back against the wall right by the door. And he just looks at the guy, and I shit you not, Aaron swears that he walked right by the guy without a care in the world, opened the door, and went right to dinner. And I was like, what? My ass would have been out the front door because that's the back door. I would have ran my ass right through the living room, went through the front door, and went around the campus to the lunchroom. Nope, Aaron said he went right through the hallway and past the guy. And I was like, why? Why did you do that? And his response was, because I wanted dinner. I was like, oh my God, bro. I mean, he wasn't scared. He wasn't scared at all. I mean, good for him. But I wouldn't have done that. So that's not the only sighting. Then he has one final sighting of this phantom. And he tells me that he's coming back from dinner one day. And he sees the same guy in the black hat and the black coat sitting on the bench now by the back door of that same dorm. Now, Aaron says that out of curiosity, he just sits next to the guy. He sits next to the guy and he looks at him. And he says he couldn't see his face, though. He said it was like a white, grayish face. He couldn't make out his eyes or anything. But he sits there, and then Aaron gets up, and he walks away, and the guy's still sitting there. So first of all, Aaron has one of the like biggest set of balls that I know for doing all this crap. But that was the last time he ever saw him. And that was insane. Now, you're probably saying like, oh, this dude is fucking lying. But I will tell you that everybody that I get stories from that I tell, these people are trustworthy. These people have never really lied to me. I can trust these people with a ghost story. I trust these people. So I believe that all of this happened. Okay. If somebody randomly told me this, I don't know if I'd believe it like wholeheartedly, but I believe Aaron, man. So he saw this guy a few different times. The only question that we had now that we have all this information is, who the hell is he? So we're sitting around. This is when the story gets kind of freaky or freakier. So me and Aaron are sitting around shooting the shit, and we're thinking like, well, who could this be? Is it like an old staff member? And that's who Aaron says he thought it was. He was like, oh, it's got to be an old staff member who was roaming the grounds because, you know, he wants to watch over the place, which is not a bad assumption. I mean, that's usually what the case is, right? It's somebody who used to be there and they're just kind of watching over everything. But as I was doing research, I just decided to just type in randomly on Google, ghost with black hat in black coat. And that's when I found out that this is actually like a phenomenon. And people have claimed to see this exact spirit all over the world. And almost in the same way. Now, Aaron and Eddie are kind of out of the norm in this case because they see this in the daytime. Most people have claimed to see this particular spirit at night. And a lot of times, it's when they wake up in the middle of the night and they'll be standing by their bed. I'm getting chills just thinking about it, man. When I was doing the research that day, I was just shitting myself. Okay, and this spirit is apparently called the Hat Man. I made a whole video on the Hat Man. After I did that research, I read a book on it about all these people's stories, and it seemed pretty legit, man. So I don't know if that is exactly what they saw. But I will tell you that it sounded pretty similar. Some people did see it in the daytime, in the book and in some of the YouTube videos I watched. I mean, I heard some pretty chilling stories about the Hat Man in the daytime. Maybe I'll do a whole podcast on it, actually, because that is such an interesting topic to hear about what he does and who he may be. I mean, all I can tell you is it's not usually a good thing. It's not usually good. Sometimes people say it chokes them in the middle of the night. So it's freaky, man. And I'm just talking about this shit at 4 a.m. now. So that's who it could be. Or it could be an old staff member. We don't know. That's who Aaron thinks it is. But I have a feeling that it may be The Hat Man. Okay. So that is The School Phantom, one of my favorites. Now, for our final stop on the Ghost Tour, we are going to take a trip to one of my favorite places in the world, Salem, Massachusetts. But we're going to go back in time, and I'm going to take you to 1692 to 1693 during the Salem witch trials. We are going to be talking about the spirit and the curse of Giles Corey. Now, during the Salem witch trials, there was about 200 people accused of witchcraft. I got the pleasure of visiting Salem, which I will talk about in a little bit. But out of these 200 people accused, one name always stands out. And that name is Giles Corey. Because Giles Corey was accused of being a witch. Him and his wife were accused of being witches. Corey was taken to court over this, as all of the 200 people were. But one thing that Corey did that I don't think anybody else did was he didn't say shit. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say he was guilty, and he didn't say he was innocent. And at the time in Salem, they couldn't try anybody that didn't make a plea. So what could they do? Well, first of all, he didn't make a plea because they say that you can't prosecute somebody. You can't have a trial if somebody doesn't have a plea. So that was his first reason. Then they say that he also did it because if he did get found guilty, which he might have, that the state of Massachusetts could have taken away his property and taken it to themselves. So it wouldn't have went to his sons, which he didn't want. So he didn't say nothing. He stayed quiet in the courtroom. Now, the court didn't like that. So what did they do? This is where it gets pretty messy. They took Giles out back and they tortured him. They put a board on his stomach, on his entire body, and they started piling on heavy stones, stone by stone by stone, crushing his chest, crushing his bones. For 2 days straight, they piled stone by stone by stone onto Giles' body in order to get a plea out of him. So they would just put a stone on and say, "Do you plead guilty? What are you going to do?" And he wouldn't say shit. Well, actually, he did. He famously said, "More weight." That's what he would say. More weight. They put a stone on, say, what do you got to say? More weight. He wouldn't say nothing besides that. So they put stone after stone on him, crushing him. Blood was coming out of his eyes, coming out of his ears, coming out of his ass, coming out of his dick hole, coming out of everywhere. But he wouldn't budge. And so now we get to the point where we talk about the sheriff. So there was a sheriff that was overseeing this named George Corwin. And George Corwin was apparently a notorious asshole. So while the torture of Giles was going on, George would basically add to this, and he would be a real douche. And they say that he famously would walk around with this stick, and while Giles was gasping for air and the stones was crushing his body, his tongue would hang out of his mouth, and the sheriff would poke his tongue back in with his dirty-ass walking stick. What a dick move. What a dick move. And he was just notoriously a jerk. So as the 2 days go on, it's getting to the end, and Giles is dying. And they're asking him, "What do you say?" And he says, "More weight, more weight." And he's getting to his last breath, and he finally says, before he dies, apparently, he said, "I curse you," to the sheriff, "and I curse Salem." And then he died. And that is where Giles' life ends, but that's not where his legacy ends, because now they say that he has placed a curse onto Salem, Mass. A bad curse. They say that whenever something goes down, you're going to see Giles' spirit roaming around. So before a tragedy, you may see Giles' spirit by his grave or walking around Salem. Now they say that people were seeing Giles' spirit around in 1914 before the Great Fire in Salem, Mass. I didn't know anything about the Great Fire. I probably did when I went to Salem, but apparently the Great Fire was a great fucking fire. Like, it was bad. And 1,376 buildings were destroyed and 18,000 people were left homeless because of this fire. And apparently Giles was seen walking around before this went down. And he has been seen walking around town, or he's been seen by his grave before a couple of other things went down, apparently. And another aspect of this curse, remember, he cursed the sheriff. But apparently that curse moves from sheriff to sheriff, because they say that every single sheriff that takes that position, everybody that takes the position of sheriff, either dies or they have to step down due to heart or blood issues. Every single one since 1693. Ain't that spooky? That is one of my absolute favorites. And I think the only takeaways we can get from this is if you're living in Salem and you happen to see the ghost of Giles Corey walking around, or you hear about it, you better pack your shit and get the hell out of there. And if you're thinking about becoming the sheriff of Salem, think again. Okay? That's one of my favorites, man. I mean, I went to Salem twice, and we went to the Witch Museum. We went to a couple of different places, and one of the places we went to, they took us down into the dungeon where they used to actually hold the people that were tried as witches or found guilty of witchcraft. And they'd have the mannequins there, and they would be like, oh, please, we're hungry, we need to get out of here, I'm not a witch. And they'd have the animatronics and stuff. It was fantastic. And one of the animatronics they had was Giles laying on the ground, and he was like, oh, more weight, what do you play? More weight. It was phenomenal. And my dad would walk around for years going, more weight. It was amazing, man. It was something else. I absolutely love my time in Salem. And one little anecdote I have for you, I don't have many ghost stories. I really don't have any. One that I have, I don't remember. I'll probably get to that either tonight or on another night. But one little experience I do have is when I went to Salem, probably the second time. Yeah. Second time I went, we went on the ghost tour, and they took us outside. They took us to Sheriff Corwin's house, actually. Took us up to a bunch of places. They took us to, I think they might have took us to the tree where they hung the witches. They might have taken us to the place where they stoned Corey, Giles. But they took us to the cemetery. This is the coolest cemetery I've ever been to. Okay, old, decrepit, and they have a memoriam for the witches, or the people that were accused of being witches. And when we were walking through the cemetery, me and my dad were taking pictures with his digital camera. When we went back to the hotel and we started looking at the pictures, I shit you not, it looked like it was snowing in the picture. That's how many orbs we saw. Raining orbs. I mean, usually if you see an orb in a picture, it's one, it's two, it's by somebody's head, it's by the lamp. No. They were covered in orbs, dude. It was out of control. I'm going to sound like I'm a complete bold-faced liar right now when I tell you that we do not have those pictures. How? I have no idea. We have pictures from all the other trips. Somehow we have not discovered, or somehow we have not found those pictures. And I'm pissed about it to this day. How we lost that, I don't know. I sound like I'm a liar, I know, but trust me. There was my dad's friend and his daughter were there, and they saw the same thing. And I believe they had an experience in the hotel room, but I don't want to go too deep into that because I don't remember exactly. I think one of them had some scratches on them or something. They saw the bathroom door opening. But I don't remember it too well enough to tell it. But that thing in the cemetery happened, dude, and it was crazy seeing those pictures. Was it? Maybe it was a bunch of dust from the tombstones. Who knows? But I've taken pictures in the cemetery before, and I've never seen nothing like that. That was so cool. So that was the curse of Giles Corey. Not really a ghost story as much as it is a story of somebody dying tragically, horrifically, and cursing a whole town. But you got the ghost of Giles in there, and he's wreaking havoc, and you never know. I mean, it was a cool story to me. Okay, so I hope that you liked those three ghost stories I had to tell you. Those are some of my favorites, but I do have an announcement now. If you love ghost stories as much as me, then you better get ready for this year's Halloween special. I have a couple of cool ghost stories that we're going to go over. Not told by me. Some of them may be told by me, but some of them are going to be told by the people that experienced it themselves. I have acquired some ghost stories over this past month, and we are going to play them on this year's Halloween special. We're also going to be playing some music and talking shit about Halloween. It's going to be a great time, so make sure that you subscribe. Oh God, I just dropped my pen. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you're up to date and you know exactly when that Halloween special drops, baby. I got a couple of other things I want to talk about, mostly pertaining to Halloween and the Halloween season. First thing I want to say is I am pretty upset because this year was supposed to be like a banging year for movies, Halloween horror movies. This year was supposed to be a phenomenal year for horror movies. The last 2 months were slated to be awesome. In September, we were supposed to get The Candyman and The Conjuring. That got pushed back. This month, we were supposed to get Halloween Kills. That got pushed back. And it absolutely sucks. I mean, I was nutting at the thought of getting a new Candyman that looked phenomenal, a new Halloween that looked phenomenal, and a new Conjuring, which I love the Conjuring series. And we're not getting them. So that blows. That sucks. But we did get some news. And I don't know if you heard this, but we are getting a Scream 5. Yeah! That's right. That's right. That's right. They're bringing it back. Ghostface is back. And not only is Ghostface back, but Sydney's back. Courtney Cox is back. David Arquette is back. Everybody's back. And that's the one thing that I will say I absolutely love about the Scream series is that I don't think any other series has that many consistent characters. From movie 1 to movie 4 and now movie 5, we still have Sydney, Dewey, Courtney Cox. We have the core group still there, and then you have the other characters around them that get killed and they get slaughtered. But we got the same three people, and I love that because where do we see that? I mean, my favorite series, Halloween, doesn't have that. Nightmare, Nancy's in a few of them, so maybe that one counts. But to get three or four of the same people in every movie is amazing. So we're getting a Scream 5, and I can't wait for that. Because let me tell you, if any of you seen the last Scream movie, the TV movie that they did with Tyga and them, that movie was fucking atrocious. So, ugh, don't even watch it. But now you should watch it just to see how bad it is. But so they're going to redeem themselves and bring us a Scream 5. So I'm happy about that. We also got news and video and pictures from the Halloween Kills set, which I was excited about. So now we know how Michael escaped. Basically, we see that he came out of the house straight up through the front door. If you're not aware of what I'm talking about, the new Halloween, the previous Halloween, Halloween 2018, Michael was apparently burned. He was thrown in the basement and they burned him alive. But in this one, we see that Mikey was not burned. He may have been burned a little bit, maybe a little burn on the mask, a little burn on the ass, but he basically made his way upstairs, kicked the door down and said, uh-uh, still Halloween, bitch. Somebody's getting killed. And I'm ecstatic. We saw that. We saw a picture of him in front of the burning house. We saw a picture of a bloody hand with a knife, which to me looked like it was Jamie Lee Curtis's hand. We saw a bunch of stuff. Also, there is speculation that one of the Strodes are going to die in this one. So you got Laurie Strode. You got her daughter, who I forgot, who's annoying, so I hope it's her. And then you got Allison. I'm saying right now that I'm placing my bet that Laurie's going. About halfway through this movie or by the end, Laurie's going to go during this movie and they're going to leave the last movie, Halloween Ends, to Allison and maybe some other characters. That's just my bet. But I'm going to get off this because we've already talked about Michael Myers for like two episodes already. I also wanted to talk about my vlogs. That's right. I am officially a vlogger. Yes, that's right. Well, only for the month of October for now. So I'm doing like a Vlogtober, Vlogoween type deal. and two of them have been released. By the time you hear this, two of them will have been out. I dropped the second one today. So if you want to go check out these vlogs, how I'm doing it is I'm recording all week, and then I put in my favorite parts of the week into, or whatever parts, you know, I feel like are going to be good for the vlog, into the vlog, and I put them out on Monday. So I go from Monday to Saturday, and I edit Sunday, and I put it out on Monday. And I'm happy to say that so far I've been pretty consistent, which is new to me, new for me. Okay, I'm barely consistent with my podcast, and for this month so far I've been consistent with putting the podcast out and the vlogs out. Yes, Mr. Consistent. Mr. Consistent. That's what they call me, at least for the first half of October. So if you want to see those vlogs, head over to the Gritty World YouTube channel. There you can see me making pumpkin spice pancakes with my niece, yelling at her at 1:30 in the morning because she's not holding the camera right and I'm messing up the pancakes. You can see me eat Takis and talk about horror movies. In the last vlog, I carved some pumpkins. And I also made an ass of myself trying to use my Keurig machine. Did not know how to use the machine. I looked like a total jackass. So make sure you go check those vlogs out. So make sure you go to Gritty World on YouTube. Hit me up at It's Gritty Bitch on Instagram and Twitter. Hope your October's going well. I'll see you on the Halloween special. Peace and love. See you next time.